You know, the funny thing about Joseph and his father Jacob, Jacob especially was a homebody, wasn't he? His brother Esau was the one that liked to be out and about, traveling around. Jacob would have rather stayed home, and the irony of the word of God is that Jacob, who would have rather never gone anywhere, sees his life spanning thousands of miles of traveling and journeys from the land of Canaan, the promised land, up to Syria for many years, and then moving back down, and in the later years of his life, moving down to Egypt. In fact, when Pharaoh asks his age, he's 130, and he speaks to him about the years of his sojourning. Of all people that all he wanted to do was settle down at home, God had him on a journey. What a picture of us. You know, we desire to be at home and at rest, and yet here we are on this journey. Here we are in the world, wondering when is God going to build his kingdom? When is he going to come again? When is Jesus going to sit on the throne? And we read about at the end of Jacob's life here in these next couple of chapters, Jacob is going to bless his grandsons, Manasseh and Ephraim. And then he is going to bless his sons, the 12 tribes of Israel. He's going to bless them with a prophecy. Chapter 49 is a prophecy. And when we think about Jacob, though, in these last two chapters of his life, he's fulfilling the role of a patriarch, a grandfather in chapter 48, and a father in chapter 49. And for all of the things that God has for us as people, you know, Jacob was above all a father. He was a father, and sometimes we forget that those simple roles that God gives to us in life, whether it's to be a father or a mother or a brother or a sister, we often overlook these. And yet the Lord reminds us that these are the things that are important during these sojournings. How are we toward one another? And how is our relationship with our father? That's what's important. So we read that it came to pass in verse 1 of chapter 48 that Joseph was told, indeed, your father is sick. And he took with him his two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim. I wonder if they socially distanced since grandfather was sick. Hey, it happens, doesn't it? Look, all the way back in the Bible, people are getting sick. In fact, one of the greatest of faith, even listed in the Hall of Faith in Hebrews chapter 11, Jacob has an illness. We read about the prophet Elisha, who when he died of an illness. Sometimes sickness happens. And it doesn't matter if you have great faith, and it doesn't matter if it's thousands of years ago in the Bible or today, sometimes it happens. Nobody's going to live forever. It's better to prepare for the next life. Be ready. Do all you can to be healthy, but even Jacob got sick. And being sick, Joseph's taking his two sons. Now, at this time, Joseph is 56, and Jacob is 147, and Joseph's sons are in their 20s. And it says, Jacob was told, look, your son Joseph is coming to you. And Israel strengthened himself and sat up on the bed. It uses both of his names there, Jacob and Israel. It looks like Jacob here, he mustered his strength. The Bible says that he worshiped from his bed, leaning on his staff. He always had that forward venturing out posture to him. At the end of his life, Jacob is not going to lie back. He gets up. His ministry is not done. Hey, some of you who have passed a number of years, don't think that your ministry is done. You may minister on your deathbed. Jacob did. what you say, how you minister, those people around you, you can have a profound impact on their lives. Never think that age is a barrier to being used by God. Jacob is being used by the Lord now to prophesy over his grandsons. What he's doing here is he's going to adopt them. And so it says he strengthened himself. He sat up on the bed. You and I, we need to strengthen ourselves and sit up so that we might be able to bless those who are coming to us. And so it says there that Jacob said to Joseph, God Almighty appeared to me at Luz in the land of Canaan and blessed me. Luz was Bethel, remember? Remember, he named it Bethel. It's funny that he doesn't use the name that he gave to it. You ever think about that? That was the house of God, he called it. God lives here. I saw it in a dream. When he was young, fleeing from his brother, he slept there at Luz. And he dreamed that there was a stairway from earth going up into heaven. And he saw the Lord above it speaking to him. And he was introduced to the Lord at that time. So he set up that pillar that he was lying on as a monument. And he poured oil on it. And he called the name of the place Bethel, the house of God. But now, years later, after all of his wandering, I wonder if something has happened in Jacob where he wouldn't use that name because maybe it just seemed too small for the vast omnipresence of God. So he calls the place Luz, the old name, because he's now living in the house of God, the presence of God. God is everywhere. And he speaks about the place Luz sort of, I wonder if he's realized after all these years, that the house of God is wherever you are, wherever he goes with you. Tonight, when you leave church, you haven't really left church. You left the building up there in Iaia. You drove home and the church left the building. You're the church. You are the house of God. And the place where you met the Lord, that's wonderful. But now you know that the Lord is with you wherever you go. So he says, the Lord appeared to me there, and he blessed me, and he said to me, verse 4, behold, I will make you fruitful and multiply you, and I'll make you a multitude of people and give this land to your descendants after you, an everlasting possession. God says to him in that time that he was going to make a nation of him, and that he was going to give him a land and that he was going to be a blessing to him. This is God's promise to his people. You are God's people and God gives you the same promise. He's going to make something of you. And he's going to give you a place. And he's going to bless you. The Bible tells us that we are children of Abraham, just like Jacob, because we have the same faith as Abraham. And when you put your trust in Jesus and you cling to God, and you say, you're my Lord. He surrounds you with his love and he goes wherever you go. And he blesses you. And he keeps you. And Jacob's life wasn't easy, but it never is as a sojourner, is it? And the Lord promises to be with us until he takes us home. And so Jacob here gives this testimony to his son. What a great thing. Fathers, tell your kids about how the Lord has ministered to you. What a witness Jacob is to Joseph and to Ephraim and Manasseh. Remember, Manasseh was born first. And he said, God made me forget. Manasseh means forgetfulness. And then Ephraim was born, and he named him Ephraim because Ephraim means to be fruitful. And so the older was named forgetful, and the younger was named fruitful. Fruity, maybe they called him, I don't know. Why didn't you do your chores? Sorry, Mom, I forgot. That's my name. You named me forget. No. So what Joseph does is now he brings these boys to his father, and his father's 147 years old, and he wants to do something for Joseph. He's going to increase his shares within the nation of Israel and the land that God gives them. And instead of Joseph having a share, his sons will have shares apiece. So they will share in the land as Jacob's children. So what Jacob's doing for Joseph is giving him an extra portion of God's future. So sometimes we'll read about the half tribes, because there are 12 tribes, but one of those tribes, Joseph, is actually two tribes, Ephraim and Manasseh. And so Joseph says, your two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, who were born to you in the land of Egypt before I came to you in Egypt, they're mine. As Reuben and Simeon, like my own kids, those are his first and second, they shall be mine. He says, I'm going to split your stock. I'm going to give you double. I'm going to adopt your children to be my first and second born, like my children. And when the inheritance comes, they're going to get extra land. You ever want to give your children to your parents? You take them. Maybe Jacob's a little late on this. Joseph might have said, well, when they were 15, I wish you were asking me for them. You could have had them. No, there's none of that. Joseph's being blessed by his father. His father is giving him a blessing here. And so he says, your offspring, whom you beget after them, you can have those. They'll be called by the name of their brothers in the inheritance. So, he rehearses what happened to him. But as for me, when I came from Padan, Rachel died beside me in the land of Canaan on the way. When there was just a little distance to go to Ephrath, and I buried her there on the way to Ephrath, that is Bethlehem. You know, this was something that stayed with Jacob for many, many years. This was sort of his soulmate, the love of his life. And he mentions that she died on the way. Twice, you know, did you see it there in that sentence? I just found it strange that he would remark to his son now many years later. She had died some 50 years or more, 45 or so years before that, and he remembers it. You know, sometimes we don't all make it together at the same time. All of us will be able to say with Jacob, there were some who passed on the way. We made it this far, but you know somebody who maybe this year or last year or the year before, they went on ahead. They died on the way. That's okay. We're all going to get there one day. Jacob reminisces about this, and all of a sudden, it's like he is a great-grandfather here. It says, then Israel saw Joseph's son and said, who are these? You know, he's kind of blind at this point in time. Maybe he's just asking, now who are these? But it's kind of funny about a great-grandfather. He says, now your sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, I'm going to bless them. Who are these guys? Oh, they're Ephraim and Manasseh. And so Joseph said to his father, these are my sons, whom God has given me in this place. And he said, bring them to me and I will bless them. Now he's going to confer the blessing upon them. So the right hand would go on the older son and the left hand would go on the younger son. And that's the way Joseph was arranging it, because he would do the same thing that, you know, every father would want to do, is, you know, bless the firstborn. That's always their strength. But we have this pattern over and over in the scripture how God is going to bless the younger rather than the older. And he creates this pattern for us, we discover in the New Testament, so as to teach us that God is going to bless our second birth and not our first birth. God's not going to bless your flesh, you know, the natural person you are, that natural man or woman. God doesn't bless the flesh. He blesses the spirit. And he wants to bless you, but he wants to bless, you know, the second born, the spiritual man, the spiritual woman that you are. He's giving you, the Bible tells us, every spiritual blessing in heavenly places belongs to you. So we live, we need to walk in the Spirit so that we might claim those and engage them in our lives. So we read here that Jacob is blessing Joseph's sons. He's going to put his hands upon them, and Joseph begins to bring them. It says in verse 10 that the eyes of Israel were dim with age so that he could not see. That happens. And then Joseph brought them near, and he kissed them, and he embraced them. It's always a good thing to show affection to kids. I remember when I was a kid, my grandma used to kiss me all the time. It was really weird. But now I understand. right? They're just so precious, especially when they're little. Oh, my grandma would always slobber on me. Like, oh, come on, grandma. And as a kid, I tried to wipe off the kisses, and they said, you're just rubbing it in. So then I scratched it off, and it didn't work. They all soaked in, you know? But you remember that. You know, you squirm as a kid, but it's so good. It's so good to teach our kids that they're loved, even if they don't like it. You know, to show affection, good, godly, wholesome affection. And so Jacob is such a model of a father here in these chapters, blessing his son, showing affection. And it says there that he kissed and embraced them. And Israel said to Joseph, I had not thought to see your face, but in fact, God has shown me your offspring. He had given up at one time, but God had brought it all back together. And so Joseph brought them from beside his knees, and he bowed down with his face to the earth. He's about to receive the blessing from his father upon his two sons. And so the blessing would come to Joseph, but he's going to give it to the two sons. Now, Joseph wants to direct where that blessing goes. He wants the right hand to be on Manasseh, forgetfulness, and he wants the left hand to be on Ephraim. But God has a different order, and he's going to reestablish that. And Jacob, his own testimony was that God had blessed him as the younger instead of his older brother, older by minutes, brother Esau. They weren't any different in age. They were the same in age practically, but just by a moment. And he had precedence because he was born first. But God says, no, the natural order doesn't matter. I'm going to bless Jacob. And so Jacob had lived his whole life seeing God's plan played out in him. And so he is going to do for Joseph the same thing that really bothered his father. Jacob's father, Isaac, really wanted to bless Esau. He loved Esau because he was a man of the field, and he brought him venison. He brought him steak. He loved the smell of his son. He represented being vigorous. That's my boy. And here comes Jacob, mama's boy. Never wants to leave the house. And God in his providence would lead Isaac to bless Jacob unbeknownst to him. And throughout their life, Jacob is learning this, and he has learned this, that God is going to bless sometimes those things that we deem weaker. Sometimes we bring our plans to God and we say, God, here's plan A and here's plan B. I want you to bless plan A, but if you don't bless that, then maybe bless plan B. And God says, I've got other plans. Or the things that we think are strong. This is a really good idea, God. Bless this idea. And God says, I've got a completely different plan, and it's a lot weaker in your mind. But this is what I'm going to use because I want to show the world that I can do something through weak people, weak tools. And that's you. Sometimes you overlook yourself and you think God's going to use somebody else. He's going to use somebody smarter, somebody, you know, better, somebody that is just more engaging with people. And God's going to use somebody else. And you look over yourself because you think you're not as good. But God says, you're the person I want to use. We know this in the Bible. The New Testament tells us God hasn't called the mighty and the noble and the wise, but he's called and he's using the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. Isn't it amazing? God wants to use you. He wants to use me. And so here Joseph brings his boys and he's got it arranged up. It says in verse 13, Joseph took them both toward Ephraim, both Ephraim with his right hand, toward Israel's left hand, and Manasseh with his left hand, he arranged it toward Israel's right hand, and he brought them near him. And then Israel stretched out his right hand, and he laid it on Ephraim's head, who was the younger, and his left hand on Manasseh's head, guiding his hands knowingly, for Manasseh was the firstborn. And he blessed Joseph, saying, God before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac walked, my God who has fed me all my life long to this day, and the angel who has redeemed me from all evil. He speaks of God of Abraham and Isaac, and then the God who fed him. That's the word Ra for shepherd. And the Lord is my shepherd, the one who guides us. And then he speaks about the angel who has redeemed me from all evil, speaks about the Redeemer. Some have seen a beautiful trinity of roles that God plays here, the God of Abraham, but also he's the shepherd, the God who fed me, the one who leads me, and my Redeemer, the one who defends me. You know, the Lord is that for you. He leads you, he guides you, he defends you. Let my name be named upon them. Bless the lads. And the name of my fathers, Abraham and Isaac, let them grow into a multitude in the midst of the earth. Now, as Jacob begins to bless Joseph, he immediately goes in his prayer to the lads. And his hands are crossed, and Joseph thinks, oh no, the blessing's going to go to the wrong one, and this is my blessing for them. And he interrupts a little bit when Joseph, verse 17 says, saw that his father laid his right hand on the head of Ephraim, it displeased him. So he took hold of his father's hand to remove it from Ephraim's head to Manasseh's head. You know, I'm going to switch hands. And Joseph said to his father, not so, my father. For this one is the firstborn. Put your right hand on his head. But his father refused. And he said, I know, my son, I know. He also shall become a people, and he shall be great. But truly his younger brother shall be greater than he, and his descendants shall become a multitude of nations. And so he blessed them that day, saying, by you Israel will bless, saying, may God make you as Ephraim and Manasseh. And thus he set Ephraim before Manasseh. Now, normally the boys were introduced as Manasseh and Ephraim, but he switched that. And he doesn't accept, you know, Joseph's correction of him. He says, no, this is the way it's going to be. And in a very gentle way, he just says, it's okay. I'm going to bless this one. And then, it's true in Israel's history, when they got into the promised land, Ephraim was one of the largest tribes. And they were blessed above so many others. They just had incredible land in the country of Israel. And Manasseh did as well, but Ephraim became the supreme sort of brother among the tribes. And it's funny, though, how Joseph is like us sometimes. We want to guide God's blessing in our way. God wants to bless us, but we only want it in this way, right? And when God puts his hand on one thing, we say, no, I want you to put your hand on this other thing. We do the same thing as Joseph, and we have to remember that the Lord knows what he's doing, and when we have that tendency, I know that the Lord is so gracious, and he might say to you, not so, my daughter, or not so, my son, it's okay. Because he's really blessing you in a way that maybe you wouldn't have imagined. When I ask the Lord to bless my life, sometimes I'm tempted to ask for the things, the way that I want to be blessed. But it's better, I believe, to let God bless us with his blessings in that sense. We're so active in our prayers, aren't we? We're asking God to do this, that, and the other. I find that my activity before the Lord in my thoughts, I'm just going so quickly all the time. We think so much. We have so many ideas. We have conversations in our mind. We're rehearsing things. What should I say? How should I write that email? I wonder what's happening with that news story I read, you know. And then we get down, we sit before the Lord, and we're just running at this pace. And we go, God, why don't you do this? And why don't you take care of that? And we become like these little dictators, you know. God, you got a lot of stuff to do. Let's go. And I need to just say, oh, Lord, be still and know that I am God. Wait on the Lord, you know. Where does God want to bless? I don't know. Let's wait and see. God's going to give a blessing on those things that are born of the Spirit. And for things to be born of the Spirit, we need to wait on the Lord. Amen? We need to allow the Lord's Spirit to speak to us. You need to sit before the Word of God. Wait before the Word of God. Just let the Lord do His blessing. And, oh, He does that. And Jacob is a model of that father that we have that wants to bless. He wants to put His hand on you. He wants to double your share. He wants to increase you and bless you, but He's got a way that He's going to do it. Let Him do it that way. What if Joseph said, absolutely not. I don't accept it, Dad. Manasseh's going to be the one. He says, all right, I'll just give you one blessing. You divide it the way you want. But if you let me do it, I'll give you two blessings. Wouldn't you rather have double portion of God's blessing and let Him do it His way than just one portion your way? I think it'd be better to have double. Let's wait on the Lord. Let's let Him put His hands on our life wherever He wants and steer us wherever He wants to go. So Joseph relents, he lets him, and he's blessed for it. Then Israel said to Joseph, verse 21, behold, I am dying, but God will be with you, and He'll bring you back to the land of your fathers. Moreover, I have given you one portion above your brothers, which I took with the hand of the Amorite. I took from the hand of the Amorite with my sword and my bow. And Jacob says something here which is a little interesting. We never read about him being a warrior, being in battle in any way. We don't know exactly what he's talking about. Maybe he's speaking about the way that he would conquer it, not as Jacob, but as Israel. One day his people would go and they would conquer it from the Amorite with the sword and bow. And so Jacob would, in his son Joseph and in Joseph's son Ephraim and Manasseh and all of the tribes, they would march in and they would take it from the Amorite, from the Canaanite and the Perizzite and all of those tribes that were there. And so Jacob closing with his son, he's going to bless all of the brothers in chapter 49. I'll give you encouragement next week. Read ahead because it's a little bit technical, but it's one of the most wonderful prophecies in the Old Testament about Jesus. And the tribes of Israel seem to indicate somehow a pattern of Israel's history for the years to come. And so it says there in the first verse that Jacob would call his sons together and say, gather that I may tell you what shall befall you in the last days. And we love prophecy, and we're talking about the last days. So next week, let's come ready for that. It's going to be exciting. Why don't we stand together and we'll close in prayer. Lord, we thank you that as Jacob learned, you go with us wherever we go. And Lord, sometimes there's a great event in our life and we remember that time. And I think, oh, God was really moving then. Well, those were good times, but Lord, as we sojourn in this life, we realize that you have been our dwelling in all generations, like Moses prayed. We've been living in you. Wherever we've gone, you've carried us, you've kept us. You are the shepherd of our souls. And Lord, it's a privilege to be brought together to this pasture as believers and see one another. Lord, we're living in the last days and we're excited. And so we look to you, our shepherd. Guide us, Lord. Teach us what to do. Strengthen us by your word and help us to be those witnesses to the world, having hope in your kingdom. We know, Lord, that you will reign and you will rule. Lord, we pray that your kingdom would come. We pray, Lord, that we would receive justice and truth and righteousness. But we pray that as a church, we would be mighty as your people. Lord, we would be blessed. May we meditate, Lord, on these words tonight and be mindful, Lord, of the way that you may move in our lives, the way that your hand may be upon us. Teach us, Lord, to wait on you. Lord, cause us to find peace and ease in your presence when outside, Lord, the world is so chaotic, so busy, so restless. Lord, help us to be those who, and Lord, in this place in Hawaii, it is so beautiful, and we often overlook the beauty that's just whispering to us of your glory. Lord, help us to be those who get away and wait on you and listen to you. What great joy you give us, Lord, when we come away from the pace of the world and all of the busyness of life. We thank you for tonight and the day that we've had. Lord, we thank you for the bond of fellowship that we have with one another. And we pray that you'd pour your Spirit out on us in these last days.